Welcome to Project Chatter, the podcast where PPM experts from various sectors talk about the latest trends. Listen to Val and Dale as they talk about tried and tested best practices and share their unfiltered thoughts about the industry. Whether you're here to learn how to progress your career, improve your project control skills, or just want to hear an Aussie and South African rant about projects, then you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Project Chatter podcast with your hosts, Dale Fung and Val Matthews.
Hey everyone, this episode is brought to you by JustDo.com. JustDo is a great business and project management tool we've been using here at Project Chatter.
I agree, Val. I like to keep things simple and JustDo is perfect for that. But I do know it's got a lot of powerful functionality as well. And one of my favorites is the task-specific chat.
Absolutely. And for all you slackers, don't wait for Monday. Check out JustDo.com. Now on with the pod.
This podcast is brought to you by Plan Academy. Plan Academy is the world's leading learning site for anyone working in construction project management or project controls.
At Plan Academy, you learn construction planning and scheduling theory, how to master scheduling software like Primavera P6, and even advanced construction scheduling techniques.
Plan Academy's courses are 100% online and at your own pace. You can learn at the office, at site, from home, anywhere. Check out planacademy.com today for free sample lessons and tons of free video.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Project Chatter podcast. I'm Val Matthews, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Dale Fung.
Hey, Val. Hi, folks. Hi, everyone.
In this episode, we get to talk to Stephen Gurevitz, who is the head of community and digital at JustDo.com. Welcome, Stephen.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for having me on this exciting podcast. Growing podcast, too, looking at how many people are liking it and sharing it. It's great to see.
Thank you very much. No, it's our pleasure to have you on this pod. And we'll be chatting to Stephen about what is JustDo.com? What is it exactly? What are the challenges around it? This is a task management software. Before we get into the detail, here's Dale with Stephen's bio.
Thanks, Val. So Stephen is the head of community and digital content at JustDo.com, as you mentioned. He also assists in partnerships and business development, as well as being part of JustDo. He is the CEO of 2002 Studios Media Limited, which is a 30-plus person SME. 2002 Studios Media Limited is a content localization firm with teams based in London, Czechia, India, and the USA.
Stephen is the Czech Republic.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
They changed their names.
Right, okay. So the Czech Republic. Wow. Stephen has experience with digital content, has been a community manager, is a composer and producer, and has written articles on gaming, music tech, and also had a book on music tech for schools published and translated into Spanish. So, wow. And you're very excited about the launch of the new Xbox, Stephen. So, welcome to the pod. We're very, very happy to have you here.
Thank you again.
Oh, no, not at all. So, I guess it's worth saying before we get into a big discussion on JustDo.com and all of that is that, yes, you do sponsor our podcast, and we're very thankful for that. And we're on this journey together. But I guess what we want to say is that, you know, you're not here as a sponsor. You're here as JustDo.com. We're going to talk about that. We're interested in knowing more about it. We want to understand exactly what it does, what it can do for the users out there, what some of the challenges might be in the industry, and really want to get into it and understand the philosophy, because I know you're quite key on that. So I think that's just worth saying up front. And hopefully, if we don't throw you too many curveballs, long may your sponsorship continue on this podcast. So.
Absolutely. I second that, Dale.
Do you want me to explain how I ended up being with JustDo and sort of the
journey? Yeah, absolutely. So that was actually going to be the first question, was a bit of the origin story. Brilliant. You know, go as far back as you want in your career and take us to date. Bit of a maybe 3 to 5 minute reel, as Val likes to call it.
Okay. Well, look, I actually think it's the journey is really important, because it's very easy to have representatives from a company, and of course they're talking about the thing they're being paid to talk about. But then 6 months later, they move to another company and they're just as excited about that because that's their new gig. So here's the situation. We were at 2002, so forget about JustDo for a minute. Back at 2002 Studios, when we weren't 30, in fact, I think we're 40 now, we're hiring fast, but when we were 30, less than 30, We were already struggling with email and Google Docs as a way of managing things, and we were focused on finding a solution, and we looked at DePulse, which is nowadays called Monday. We looked at Asana, we looked at Trello. Some of our clients used Jira, and we looked at that. None of them stuck. People found them not intuitive enough. And then a friend of mine introduced me to someone who'd moved from Israel to London and said, go meet him. And he showed me this thing he was involved in called Just Do. And it didn't have the feature set that it had today, but it already had the philosophy and the way of working, which we'll talk about in a minute. And within 48 hours, we'd moved to it. And after 6 months, I said to them, look, no one's really doing your online work, your digital content. Guess what? It's what my company does. Can I jump on board? And to my amazement, they said, yes. And so here I am talking about Just Do with you. And obviously I have a degree of bias, as everyone's, but not as biased as I said, someone who just landed a job and this is their job for the next 2 years. I asked to join this because I really believe in the product. And one thing I'll say, which I'm sure we'll revisit, but one thing is Just Do has been phenomenal. It's allowed us to punch well above our weight. And not only that, we have 70% of our client project managers are embedded in our Just Do, which is amazing because my 2002 Studios company is a supplier, it's a vendor. And normally suppliers don't have clients in their system. It's normally the other way around. And all my clients are multi-million pound companies, 300, 450 million, but they're big concerns. And they in turn service major companies like Amazon and Google and whatnot. And they've all got systems, either internal ones they've burnt money on or external ones. But they all revert back to email and spreadsheets because they're not fit for purpose. But yet with us, once they discovered and I showed them Just Do, we've eliminated email and they're in the system. So it shows you that my bias isn't completely foolhardy because my enthusiasm is clearly being shared by others who touch the product. And what people normally do is they wish it could do more. They don't say I don't like it. They just say I like it, but I wish it could do, which is a wonderful situation to be. So that's my little journey, and that's the excitement that I think I bring with it, and hopefully we can unpick that during this discussion.
No, absolutely. We'll definitely try and unpick a bit of that. So you mentioned a little bit about, Asana and some of the Monday.coms and then that kind of tool set. Is that kind of where you're competing? Are you sort of standalone where you've got sort of a niche where that you've identified? I mean, what is JustDo.com exactly? If you had to sort of elevate a pitch, 2 minutes, this is JustDo.com to someone that doesn't know it at all. What would you say to them?
We have two elevator pitches, or should we say we're forming two? Because as opposed to giving you the elevator pitch, I'll answer your initial first part of the question, which is who we're competing against and what's the solution, or what's the problem we're trying to solve, okay? So Just Do can be and is a task management platform, okay? And you could stick it in the project management office, or the tech team could just use it, or the marketing team could just use it. And as is the way in many companies, specific teams use specific platforms, right? So you go to a large company, I was speaking to one just the other day, and one team's using Trello, another team's using Jira, another, it's just the sales guys and Salesforce. And actually what the company lacks in that situation is one single system that allows management to see what everyone is doing. So even if you didn't want to replace all those systems, even though logic may say you should, you might not want to because people are one emotionally attached to them, it's too much of an upheaval, and maybe they have some specific features that Just Do doesn't have yet, okay? So even if you wanted to retain all those systems, what every single company lacks is one single system that ties it all together. So when Dell opens a task in Trello, it would automatically spawn a task in Just Do saying this is what Dell's now working on. And when Val's doing something in Salesforce, it would automatically spawn a task saying this is what Val is working on. And then management for the first time knows what everyone is doing, can see all the discussions relating to those things, and has some idea of what their workforce capacity is and all this sort of thing. So JustDo can be the business operating system linking to every other tool, giving you that oversight. And I don't mean like a dashboard, a proper interactive oversight. Or it can be the system which everyone is using to do the actual things themselves and to micromanage the projects. So when we go to companies, we're offering it at both levels, because in some cases they just want it for a team, and in some cases they realize that they have no real understanding of what anyone in the company is doing, and this can be the glue that brings it all together. But not in a Microsoft BI graphics dashboard way, but in a proper interactive way, replacing Slack, replacing MS Teams, you know, not for video call, but for all your chat messages, and making sure you've got a proper audit trail and that data is going from top down, but more importantly, and this rarely happens in companies, from the bottom back up.
Wow. Okay. So that integration, but it's quite interesting. So thanks for giving us an overview on that. Val?
Yeah, I was listening in the background, and you know, you say all the right words, Stephen. So you've got us hooked at least. But the interesting thing for us is that, you know, I think it was last year I was at the Project Controls Expo, and one thing I've noticed over the last few years at the Project Controls Expo is the number of software companies that have just started to dominate this space, which is one interesting. But obviously, there's a buzz and a bit of a hype to start setting up software for projects, for project management, for business systems, and where it used to be just a few kind of, I don't call them dinosaurs. What do you call them, Dale? I don't know. The Oracles, the others, the monoliths, the mega monopolies that we had no choice but to use. And now you're seeing, at least I'm noticing, a bit of a trend, you know, with perhaps new methodologies being part of programs now, like Agile, when that's, you know, Jira is probably a very popular in DevOps and software type programs. You're like, okay, so now they're using Trello and all these other tools. Where does JustDo fit in the project environment? Because obviously, I bumped my mic there. Obviously, there's a lot of competition, and you mentioned you kind of you're the business operating system, which is a really great way of packaging what JustDo does. I think what's happening is there's a lot of people in project controls and project management and business. There's so many options, and this is the other thing. Like, you've got Microsoft trying to get in at all levels, from low end to high end enterprise systems. You've got Oracle and the rest trying to match that, and you've got these new emergent companies obviously offering smaller versions of the same. How do you kind of clear the noise so that project controls, project people can make a concise choice or decision? Sorry.
It's hard to explain JustDo until we do an onboarding and show it. You guys, we should disclose to the listeners and viewers that you guys have played with it yourself, obviously. So you've got a degree of background that you can visualize. There's an instant connection, and when people connect with JustDo. JustDo prioritizes two things: speed of data entry in and speed of data entry out. And more importantly, even than that, is context. Everything is contextual. What people love about JustDo, once they see it, is compared to other systems, is everything is context-based. Your conversation is tied to the task, the file, everything is in the same place. And not only that, is as you move between different modes or views, so you go from a view that shows, I don't know, everything, to just your to-do list, and then you go back into, I don't know if you guys are aware, we have everything called a zoom in now, where you can almost replace your Google trackers, and you can have a very detailed tracker. And then you want to bring up your Kanban, and you've got your chat. What's amazing is you can have a lot of this data all at once on the screen. So as you're looking at the task and you see the Kanban, you've got the chat, and everything is contextual. And more importantly, if you then flick back to a different script. For example, I was playing with Write a few weeks ago, okay, which actually has some really good features, But every time you went from one thing back to your previous thing, you had to set it all up again, meaning you break your table or whatever it is you had set up. So the amount of clicking you have to do if you want to do, in other words, so as a user, you're thinking, do I have to go here? I don't actually want to go here, because if I go here, I'm going to lose everything here, and then I'll have to set it up again. Just Do is just really, really fluid. There's things we can improve. You know, we're working very hard at the moment actually on speeding it up because we want it to be as fast as an XLS, your document, which would be amazing if it was that fast. I mean, Jira is not even real time. We're trying to be as fast as an XLS, right? So we have certain aims, and I don't know if we'll hit them. I'm not the tech guy, but I know we want to hit them, and that would be amazing. But what makes Just Do so different to all these other platforms is it's not a burden to go in and use it, and everything is there at your fingertips, and you're not penalized for switching view or whatever it may be. I'll give you another example. Many systems, Jira likes to have epics, and it has epics and then whatever. And Rike also has projects, and Asana has something else. I can't remember what they call it. Just Do doesn't say you have to have a this followed by a this followed by a this. Okay, we just have tasks because in life everything is a task. And if you want to call a task a certain task a project, which will then have child tasks, that's fine. And then if you want to change it and change how the tasks are related to each other, you could choose that as well. You can even add a button called projects and make any task a project, which gives it extra behaviors. Okay? But you can then unclick it and it loses those behaviors. Or you can make child tasks projects that lead in. The way I like to think about Just Do is it's a bit like when video games started going down the lines of open world and they started putting in physics. I don't know if you guys play video games. Okay, and so do I. So as the physics and the games have got more complex, developers have discovered people do things that they never planned for them to do, whether it be with Nintendo and Breath of the Wild because they put a load of physics in, or whether it be, you know, your Grand Theft Autos. But the point is people play around with the feature set and then create outcomes which maybe the original developers didn't actually plan for. Just Do is like a project management toolbox, a sandbox. And we are not forcing you into certain structures, and we're letting you play around with it, which also means after 3 months of doing a project a certain way, you might go, you know, this format of how we're looking at our project isn't working, let's change it. But you don't have to start again, you can just change it. And we're giving you that tool set, but we're also doing it in a way which I think is really quite easy to use. It's not complex. And again, because it's contextual, what you're doing makes sense. So when we do onboardings, going back to that's why wearing my 2002 hat, that's why we've got 70% of our clients in the system, because after a 20-minute onboarding, they know enough to be able to use it and they never look back. So obviously, there's always competition in all fields of business. It doesn't matter what you do in business. There's more than one project manager. Why would they pick Bob over Mary? Okay. Right, but the difficulty is always getting your head above the pulpit, and that's down to marketing and business development and connections. But once we show the product to people, they generally go, wow, that's really cool, could it do? And the moment they start asking questions like that, it lets us know that they're already seeing the what I call the Just Do difference.
Yeah, and I think just going back on your point, there's a lot of content in that, and if you unwrap that, it's obviously something that could be tailored, or you can follow a methodology or a framework if you want. You can have, you know, behaviors set that, or conditions that allow it to work the way you want it to work, which is great because versatility is good. And what I do find is that the point of contention isn't the fact that there's really good software out there. Like you said, a lot of these will do what you want them to do, but not all of them bring it all together. And if you look at some of these projects, I mean, you know, we're on all sorts of projects these days. The two things that people seem to go back to by default are what you mentioned at the start of the pod is email and Excel. And it's like, I'm not sure I understand the reasons why. I'd love to get your view on why we're kind of hard-coded, at least some people, to go back to these tools. Is it because it's cheaper? Is it because of the friction of use? It's easier, it's malleable. What do you think the reasons are? And obviously this is kind of an enhancement, or, you know, the next step beyond just having Excel and email. This kind of brings it all together. How do we get people on that journey?
Okay. Well, firstly, other people, I'm a good Jewish boy. I like to answer a question with sometimes another question or a wider question.
Go for it.
But obviously other people are trying to address a similar problem. That's why we have Slack. And that's why Microsoft are trying to catch up with messaging in MS Teams. And so people have recognized email is not an efficient way of task delegating. You know, if we give the basic example, if I send you an email, I might have my client set up in such a way that I know you've opened it, but I certainly have no idea if you're doing it, okay, whatever that it is. Mm. Unless you email me back. And if I send out 50 emails a day, I really don't want to read 50 emails back saying, don't worry, I've got this. Yeah, that's just a huge amount of waste, okay? So people are aware, people are trying to tackle this problem from different angles. The problem with Slack, MS Teams, or even Skype, because they're really just chat systems, which we've had for donkey's years, is you end up with a chat channel maybe for your team, maybe if you're lucky for the project, but you certainly don't have anything more granular than that. And because there's too much noise going through those chats, people start muting them, and then if Dell wants to speak to Stephen, it'll ping him a private message, which is fine, except that now no one has any visibility of that message, and it's not tied to the task or the project, and management can't audit it, and so on and so forth. So these are problems, and I do think compared to 2 years ago, when I got, when my Just Do journey, I guess, was started, it's 3 years, but was getting more meaty, should we say. Even 2 years ago, these systems were known. And obviously, there were, as you said, large players already out there, but it wasn't as current as it was today. As you said, there's been a bit of an explosion. And so when we met companies 2 years ago, it might be a question of explaining to them why they need a system like this. Whereas now when you go to companies, the question is why you need our system as opposed to why you need a system. But what you have got, and this now reverts back to some of the questions you were specifically asking, is, and forget about, let's pretend Just Do didn't exist. So this is my honest answer without saying, and the solution is Just Do, okay? Even the solution is Just Do, okay? But that aside, what's obvious is many decision makers, whether it be COO, CEO, chief technology officer, or the head of that particular team that's going to have their own platform, okay, they're getting in a platform and ticking the box and saying, we've now got a solution. But they don't realize you can't actually tick the box and say you've got a solution until you've demonstrated it's being used. And many of these solutions are just, and this is the blunt answer to your question, Val, they're just not fit for purpose. Mm. And because of that, the friction, the cost of use is so high that people go back to emails. Email is still convenient in the sense of it's easy to open up your mail client and click new email, right? That is really cool. What's awful about it is once you send that email, you've created this nightmare of never-ending email threads, and you'll start losing it and all the rest of it. But the actual usability of creating an email is very easy. And most of the other platforms, it's painful just to get something done. And so these companies think they have a solution, and they don't have a solution. They have a service which they're paying for, and no one's using because everyone's skirting around it. And they're only maybe putting data in it retrospectively once something has been done, which is killing the whole point of having the system and the solution which they're paying for. And, you know, and many companies, and you guys both are senior project managers, it doesn't matter if it's an IT project or even a physical building project. As you know, many companies will have an investment plan. So we're going to build our own system, right? And, everyone knew it wasn't going to work after the first £50,000 of investment. But you keep spending, and it's not, and then you'll spend £1 million and £2 million. And, of course, the more you spend, the more you have to complete it, at least until you can jump ship and find a job at another company. And then it's someone else's problem. Okay, and you see this whether it be a building, a nuclear power plant, or a train line, or whatever it may be. So lots of companies are also in trying to, the fact they've decided to invest in something which they realize isn't the best solution, but at this point it's too politically inconvenient to turn around.
I kind of resonate with that last point there, that, you know, sometimes they go down the road and it's, no one wants to admit they made the wrong decision, and they'll just spend the money anyway. Yeah. And I see that a lot. Another point on that, because I'm really interested in, you know, that this cycle of software, and, you know, you think about projects that use technology or solutions on long-term projects, they have a thing called obsolescence management around technology. So let's say you have a 5 to 10 year project. By the time that project finishes, potentially the technology that you kind of solutionize at the start of the project is obsolete by the end of the project. So how do you implement that in? But we don't talk about that from a project management practice perspective. We just kind of take on the tools that we start with, and we'll finish with those tools. And we're not looking to innovate or any, you know, kind of look for ways to, as you mentioned, remove friction from the process. Do you know why that is? I mean, are you close enough to it to how do you respond to the users that really enjoy Just Do? Do they give you feedback from their projects? Like, we had this problem, this solved this because of X, Y, Z, or?
Well, we've actually just brought in a customer success manager. I don't know if that's their official title. I just forget. But
oh, fancy.
Her job will be to follow up with people and find those kind of questions, and also the negatives, by the way. So that will
feed development. Yeah. It's all feedback. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, exactly. So she would probably be able to talk to that in time better. But certainly, no, everyone who touches the system, who uses it, essentially the problems it solves are the global problems that we've already touched on. So as they once they start using it, they stop using email, because who wants to have multiple email threads where you can never find who said what when? And of course, all of our email servers are on different timings, so they're not even sequential when you're looking back at the email threads. And where's that attachment gone? Or did we mention it in a Skype? Or what was the price of that? Or when did you say it would be delivered? So they just love the fact that everything is in one place. They can, you know, they love the fact they can have visibility of a conversation but not receive notifications, which is also one of the things that Just Do does. Its chat is, we call it a smart chat, but it solves the problem of Slack. Again, you guys have experienced this because you've played with it, but the listeners won't. So our chat conversations, you could have a task with, say, 50 members. And to be clear, again, to the users, every action in Just Do is a task. So a task isn't a project. It could be, but it could be a really simple line item, you know, order some paving stones, okay, which is a very child task as part of something else. But even order paving stones will get its own chat channel. No one has to create it. It's there. It's in the system, okay? But if there are 50 people who are stakeholders, clearly, if we're going to be chatting about the paving stones, I'm guessing all 50 do not need to be involved in that chat proactively, okay? Yeah. Whereas if it was an email and they were all stakeholders, they'd all be getting that email on CC, and they'd all have to read that email. And if they've got 20 emails like that, they have to read them all, only to discover at the end there were no actions. So Just Do solves that problem, because all of them will be muted. Let's say I just need to talk to Dell about the paving stones. Only Dell gets the notification. But all of them have visibility of the chat because they can see the task. They just don't know the chat's going on, if you know what I mean. But if Dell and me then go, we're stuck, we need Bob to sign off on these paving stones, we can quickly unmute Bob, and Bob, and we'll say, Bob, can you chip in on this? Bob can then read everything that's been set up to that point, because he always had access to it. He just wasn't being annoyed and notified, and we were freeing him up to do his other work, okay? And then Bob clarifies things, mutes himself, and then me and Dale continue talking about paving stones, and Bob's not getting any more notifications, and neither the other stakeholders. So that's a very simple example of the Just Do difference. And it's those differences which, whether we implement them or other companies implement them, because there was some cool stuff happening with other software out there, it's those kind of things that will allow people to migrate from email and stop going back to XLS documents, which is essentially what you're asking me, Val. It's that kind of thing. Just sticking in new features and saying this can now do this isn't the solution. It's actually, and that's why, you know, our feature set's grown a lot, but our feature set in some areas, you know, we still want to improve it. But as we said, there's no point having 4 million features that no one uses, because, to quote, use your term, Val, the friction is too hard, so you never go into the system. And so that's where we, that has to be where the industry has to focus if we're going to get people truly using these systems. I mean, I'll pause for breath in a minute, but that one of comparing my 2002 Studios hat, one of the companies we work with, they use Jira.
Yep.
But they use it in a very limited way because they're using it to capture certain data, but then other conversations move back onto email. Okay.
Yeah.
And then all the people involved are running Google trackers. And it's like, so why have you got Jira? In other words, one of the little messages I put out from time to time on our social media is, you know, Jim, his company is really proud at juggling the fact that he's got email and XLS and Jira and Trello, and he's so proud of his complex life and he's on top of all of it. The Just Do user, he's really proud because he doesn't have anything except Just Do, and he's proud of keeping things simple. So maybe there's a bit of machoism in there. Maybe there's a bit of, hey, I've got this tool and I've got that tool, and I love the fact my life is complicated, and there's, you know, maybe some people are scared of having a simple life, but I think there's an element of that is people feel they need to be loaded up with tools.
That's a good point, Stephen. We had a debate on one of our previous pods, episode 30, I think it was, Dale, when we talked about kind of the incentive for people to move to digital solutions, and that, you know, at some point it's not viable because no one's really pushing it. It's not a profitable solution all the time to be faster, better, and cheaper. So sometimes there's a bit of a pushback, and then obviously, then you've got your dancing and juggling project managers, not everybody, but that some that keep themselves busy. I remember even in the Navy, they're teaching us, there's a guy walking around, and we're in this, it's like a workshop, and he's got this clipboard, and we see him come in and he marks some things off, and then he goes away, and the next day he's in there and he's marking things off. We're like, geez, is he watching us perform, or what's he doing? Is he marking us as we work here? And one of the guys gets enough kind of gusto to go up to him and go, listen, you know, what are you doing? Is there anything we can help you with? Because we're obviously concerned that we're going to get in trouble. And he turns around and he goes, oh, no, I just don't have a job. I just don't want the chief looking at me thinking I don't have something and giving me a job to do. So he said, if you really want to get away with things, just walk around with a clipboard.
Oh, well, in the media industry, people are doing that for years.
So he's been doing that for about 6 months. 6 months he got away with just walking around with a clipboard, and everyone was really scared about it because they thought they were getting in trouble if they kind of confronted him. So anyway, it does happen, and some people do get away with it, surprisingly, especially on big projects. Like you said, I think this thing, not fit for purpose, but also not fit for scale, massive problem. If you look at some of the size of these projects, and you know, you're hundreds to thousands of people working, and then think about the thread or the chaos of emails just colliding. And then trying to follow up on tasks, and you know, Dale was probably one of the most organized guys I know, so he'll get a Kanban board sorted out. But for the rest of us, there's no hope if we're doomed to Excel and email. I just don't think it's an effective way of managing projects. But Dale, I'd be keen to hear your thoughts on it, mate, because I've been talking for long enough, and so is Stephen.
No, I was just listening there intently. You know, Stephen, you talk about the demo that we had, Val and I, and, you know, we played around with it. And we'll talk about a little bit later about how others, the listeners, can get a demo of Just Do. But you're right. You know, getting in there and playing with it, you really understand the power of the functionality. And, you know, you touched on the task-specific chat, and I truly do like that about it, particularly. And I think for me, it's about just sort of cutting through the noise, and you're only getting the information that you want. So you might be data rich, but it's not all coming at you, right? So you're only getting the information that you require to do your specific role, and you're not getting lost in just forest of, if I can call it a forest of just data noise, if that's the right word. But some of the other things I wanted to chat about was security and the interface. So if we go into security first, I mean, a lot of people listening to this pod will go, okay, great, justdo.com. I like, you know, what you're saying, Stephen, and I'm keen to try it out. But with all of, you know, data concerns these days and security around everything, what are some of the things you're doing at Just Do about security?
Okay, so there's a limit to what I can talk to that, but I can say that we're GDPR compliant, which ticks a big box.
Mm-hmm.
We're not designed to be a Fort Knox, per se. We're not. I don't think, you know, I'd have to double check, but I don't know if we have end-to-end encryption. But I believe that can be put in if we don't have it. And also, if you were to sign up today, you're on the general cloud. You can have a private cloud, and you can also have the thing on an on-premise server. So you can have it completely locked down and totally secure. Okay. But the other point, which is an interesting point about security, and actually this goes back to, again, what Val and me have been talking about to do with people's reliance on email, is, as we know, so many companies, I mean, look what happened to Travelex recently. So many companies get caught out now by dodgy emails. Now, JustDo doesn't solve that problem, but if you could, I have a security background as well, and there's a way that people do security. If you could take 80% of your emails and remove them, and you're only left with the other 20%, you're more likely to see the dodgy one that you shouldn't click on. So if you can get all of your people and your vendors, I mean, like with me, your clients even, but certainly your vendors and your colleagues in a system like JustDo, where no one can message anyone unless they have been invited into the project. And even if they're invited into the project, unless they can see the task, they can't do anything, right? So if you've got everyone in that system and eliminated most of your emails, you're going to more likely see the dodgy ones. So immediately, just by doing a system like JustDo, you've immediately improved your company security. Not that JustDo is trying to be the most secure way of doing things, but it is clearly way more secure than using email. So this reliance on email just makes it more and more likely companies will get hacked, whether it be a phishing attack or a spear attack, or all the different kind of attacks you have nowadays. But by bringing your community inside JustDo, the good example of that is WhatsApp versus BBME. Okay, right? BBME, for those who aren't aware, but BlackBerry still exists, but it's a software company, and they offer BBME for enterprise. Now the big difference is anyone can message anyone on WhatsApp, whether you want to have that message or not. You could block them afterwards, but initially anyone can message you, right? Yep. But with BlackBerry, you have to be invited to be a friend before you can message anyone. Similar, okay? A bit different. And obviously, that doesn't mean you can't get hacked on BBM, but ultimately, no one can just send you a cold link. Now, I don't know if it's happened to you, but I've had lots of friends who've had their WhatsApp accounts stolen, and someone sends a message saying, can you send me this PIN? And before you know it, you've given control of someone's account. And I don't feel aware of these kind of attacks, but they're really prevalent. And once someone's got hold of your WhatsApp, they've got access to all your groups. So then it can just propagate, because then they start sending out the same messages. So from a security point of view, a system like JustDo, if it's being used, and that goes back to the friction point, if it's being used as the company operating system, it immediately makes your company more secure. It doesn't make it totally secure, but it immediately makes it more secure. So
yeah, that's
the best way I can talk to the subject of security.
That's really great, because it's obviously something that people think about when they bring on new systems, and it's important to highlight exactly where it is. But I think you also touched on if we need to be more secure, if JustDo needs to be more secure for you, we will do that. And I think I experienced that firsthand when we first had a demo, and I said to you, hey Stephen, what about this, and you took it away and you came back after a couple of days and you said, this is what we're working on, this is in the pipeline, and it's happening. So I like that you're reactive and you're listening to what users are actually saying. So, kudos to you for being involved with the users, and rather than just going, this is how you shall do stuff, forever and ever.
Well, that's not going to work. And that means we're never going to get the onboarding, and you're going to remain with friction.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we move on just to the interface, bit. So, you know, as you've said, you've played around with a lot of the different tools. I know Val loves all the different software tools. Any new software tool he can get on, he just goes and he plays around with it. And there's so many different interfaces out there. So your interface, I know you can customize it, but your classical one is sort of those that are perhaps familiar with Microsoft Project, right? It starts off with your tasks that you can do and you can add your different columns. What is your approach with that interface, and then maybe touch on how people can customize the interfaces?
Okay. So do you mind if I do, is it okay if we show people? I've got a demo, a dummy thing just for context.
We can certainly put a link to the demo in the bio. But if you want to talk to it, and then they can watch the link.
Okay, I didn't know if you want to share a screen or something.
No. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, actually, if the way that we like to think about it is, and this always again slightly amuses me. Let's say, obviously, there are different size companies. But if you go to a really big company, and let's say they've spent all these money on multiple tools. The more CME you get, they don't touch any of the tools they're asking their own colleagues to use. Mm-hmm. And as we know, they're probably looking at a Google Sheet or an XLS document. So our starting point is a table with columns on it that looks actually remarkably familiar to them, which is another way, again, that probably why we have such a good onboarding, because it's a concept they already understand. And you've got rows of tasks, and each task can have a child task. And actually, we have no limit on the number of child tasks. You can create as many tasks and as many child tasks as you want. And those tasks can be moved around, and the child could, if you go, I don't want that to be a child anymore, I want it to be a sibling, with a click, you can do that. And if you say, yeah, I don't know why you'd want to, but if you suddenly think that child is more important than the parent, you can change it within two clicks and suddenly make it the parent. So again, we're not forcing people into any particular methodology or structure. They can change it on the fly. And we have that, and that's called the table. And that table view can be changed from looking at everything that's happening on that Just Do. A Just Do is like our marketing speak for a project. And by the way, because of the flexibility of Just Do in terms of the number of tasks, the child tasks, and also the permissions, how easy it is to control what people can see, a company like my company, 2002 Studios, with 40 plus people, plus all its vendors and clients, we can run everything through one single Just Do. Right, because if you're only doing that account, you'd only see that, and if you're only doing this, you'd only see that. Whereas me, the CEO, I see everything, but we can control, and so it doesn't get confusing for people. Obviously, a major enterprise company may have multiple Just Do's, but within that Just Do, the main area is the table, and you can flick that table between seeing everything on the Just Do that you have permission to see to your Do list. To seeing things such as tasks in transfer. We should maybe talk to that in a minute as to how we do task transfers, because it's a little bit different to not all, but most systems. And you can then also see most recently updated tasks and a bunch of other different data views. That's the table. Then on your right-hand side, you've got what we call the task pane, and every task, you click on it, you have your task pane, and that's where you've got all the functionality we've talked about, such as your chat, your files, your description, which is just a description box where you can put pictures and dumb tables in and things like this, and custom fields, because obviously Just Do allows you to create many different kinds of custom fields, and again, they're not complex. So you get the sandbox without the complexity. And those custom fields can either stay in this area down on the task pane, or you can flick them onto the table. And different users will want to see different data sets, because if you're management, you might want to see certain data. And if you're the person doing it, you might want to see other data. And you can obviously filter. So if it's dates related, or if it's phases of work with options lists, you know, you could, different people will want to have different columns, and then you can filter by them. And then at the bottom, we have this new pane at the bottom, and that's where you can access your calendar, your Kanban, your Gantt. You can also have the Gantt in the table. So you can either have it down below, or you can have it in line with the tasks. And also, you can also see an activity stream coming up in the activity tab, which is interesting because actually, this goes back to the very beginning of this discussion when you asked me what you know, the elevator pitch for Just Do. Mm-hmm. You think about it. Companies spend a fortune on software to monitor their computer networks. And it tells them when the network is under threat. It also tells them when there's bottlenecks or there's performance issues. Okay, but they have no software to do exactly the same for their human network. The activity tab will actually be showing you, as people update and click on tasks, you will see a stream of data. You can also filter it. So as people update statuses, you'll see that stream. Now, obviously, I don't imagine anyone's just going to be sitting there watching this data stream, but there might be something that someone's looking out for, if you know what I mean. But also, again, talking about integrations, you could, or we could, but you could as well if you've got the development team and work with our SDK, take that feed. And if there's certain keywords or key milestones that you're waiting for, that could be picked up, and then it could trigger an alert back into Just Do to spawn a task or to another tool if you're using it or whatever it may be. So the UI has many different exciting elements, but all of this can be looked at whilst you're still seeing that basic table with your tasks.
Yeah.
And what's really nice is, let's say you open the calendar. And the calendar's phenomenal because the calendar doesn't just show you the start date and the end date and due date. It will link up with our resources extension. So if someone's put in their planned hours, it will tell you if Dell's going to be over capacity. So management know if they've given in too many tasks to do. And it all comes up in the calendar. What's really nice is our follow-ups also show up in the calendar. And so do our private follow-ups. And private follow-ups are reminders for me about your tasks. So I don't forget, okay? Which is, again, an email. I ask Dell to do something. He says, no problem. I then forget about it. I do. We all do. Until he comes back to me with a question or a clarification, or someone above me says, hey, can I have an update? Oh, I didn't ask him. Okay? So we have private follow-ups that allows me to see my due list. Dell's task. Let's ask him how that's going on. All of that shows up in the calendar. And then when you click on the thing, again, immediately on that table, even if you weren't looking at that task at that time, it will go straight to that task, open it out, zoom in on it. So you might go, I have no idea what it was I was clicking on because I've totally forgotten about it, but clearly I have to look at it today. So I'm clicking on it. Boom. Oh, it's about this, and it's Dell's task. Our last hour chat message. Oh, the conversation is right there. So yeah. I don't have to open anything. Boom, done. Can I have an update on that, please? Okay. And so I don't know how much detail you wanted, but hopefully that's almost like a radio play story of what it's like to use Just Do. Is it's all really frictionless, and the UI supports that. And that's again, brilliant. Core to the philosophy. Yeah.
That's brilliant, Stephen. And no, I think you're right. You know, you've done it great justice explaining it on a podcast. But you know, we'll add a link to any demos and how people can get in touch to do personalized demos if they need in the bio of this podcast. But I just want to ask one more question on functionality and features before I hand over to Val for the final few. The last time we spoke, you were chatting about, you were looking at bringing in, especially in the current climate, video conferencing functionality. How have you come along with that? Is there integration with the likes of a Zoom, or do you have your own internal one? What can you give us?
We've been looking at doing Zoom integration. It's not going to be coming anytime soon because we looked at the product definition and we want to change it based upon feedback from current users. But originally we were going to make it as simple as sort of you're in the chat and you can press a button. So yes, so you and me are chatting and we just do a thing straight away saying, hey, should we go into a Zoom? Mm-hmm. And the system would automatically create a meeting room for us. And of course, only we would get the notification because everyone else is muted. So we still have the beautiful integration into our smart chat. And we might still do something like that. But we also do have a dedicated meetings plugin.
Okay.
Guys have played with it. But think about it. Meetings is often a very abstract concept. I mean, you may think that's strange because you have meetings all the time. But if you think about it, you go for a meeting, someone writes down some notes, and then they get distributed. And then a bit like the Old Testament, everyone interprets them in their own ways. And then hopefully you're doing the right action points. right? But we have a dedicated meetings plugin, because obviously what are you meeting about? You're meeting about the tasks that we're already in Just Do. So the agenda, you tell it what tasks you want to do. And then as you're having the meeting, you can leave notes and you can create child tasks, and you're doing it all from that plugin. So all the actions have already been done. And what's really nice is all those notes are then, again, contextually, you click on that task and the notes pertaining to that task from the meeting will show up in the task pane. Okay, so everything is tied together. But what we're thinking of doing is putting the Zoom in there. Because if you think about it, whilst people do impromptu, hey, let's have a video call, probably 70% of video calls are planned, like this one. It's like, should we do a call in an hour's time? Or should we have a meeting with Bob and Mary and Jane, and we'll do that tomorrow lunchtime, okay? So we're thinking of doing it via the meetings plugin.
No, that's great. Thanks, Stephen. And I'll look forward to when you do integrate that functionality. I'm going to hand over to Val now for the final few.
Stephen, I love your passion, mate. You obviously love this job, this software. I'm going to ask you a question, because if I was working if I had the gift of software development or anything like that, I'd have a favorite feature. What's your favorite feature of Just Do, and why?
Ah, that's a good question. Oh, do I have to pick one, or can I name it two or three? I won't do more than three.
All right, three is good. Three is a good number. Have you got three?
I got three. The one is the smart chat, because it is phenomenal. The only downside of the smart chat, but again, this is on the to-do list, so we've established the need, and obviously it's just about resource, is we will be putting in at some point, don't ask me when, and an out-of-office message, because obviously if you go on holiday, you can come back with a lot of messages. We should point out, when you come back with a lot of messages, you'll be coming up with a lot of chat updates. In other words, if there's been lots of messages for that chat, you'll only get the notification for the most recent one, and then you read. Just like WhatsApp. But the smart chat is phenomenal. I love private follow-ups and its integration to the calendar, because this is not me with my Just Do hat on, this is me with my 2002 Studios hat on. I'm the CEO who remembers nothing anymore, because all I do is put the follow-up date in. When we hit it, I check if it's been done, or I ask someone, when's this being done? I can't even remember what the thing is. And then they give me an answer, which is, I might listen to the answer, I might not, but at least I know they now know I'm watching it. I move the follow-on date on. But it's a wonderful feature. It allows me to stay on top to the best as I can. I'm still only human. The many, many projects and tasks we have going on at that company. And then I said three, so now I've got to think of a third feature. I don't know if this is a feature, but I think it probably is. I love the UI. I just think that total experience, where you've got all those things together, is really, and actually I think that's probably, it goes back to my journey story. We didn't have all the other features when we adopted to Just Do before I joined the company. So what got me interested in it was that UI, and the fact that I had that instant data thing, and I wasn't being forced to work a certain way. So I don't know if you want to call that a feature, but they're my three favorite reasons to come back to the platform all the time. And I guess they talk to your question that we spent some time on, which is, what's the Just Do difference, and how is it attacking or reducing the friction of people using these tools?
Yeah. And the other one, I mean, they're good points. I mean, I think user experience is something that everyone's really picky on now. Like, it never used to be a thing in projects. You just accepted it. And to a large effect, it still is. Like, if you look at Oracle Primavera, it's still as ugly as, 10 years ago, whenever it came out. It's not changed a lot. It's the same ordinary colors. But you'll find a lot of the software that's coming out now, everyone's paying attention to user experience and finessing that aesthetic so it's pleasing to use. And I think that's part of the attractiveness. Like, you can start to pick now these products that actually look good to use. And you mentioned integration earlier on in the pod. I just wanted to say, does Just Do play nice with all the other tools we mentioned on the pod?
So I'm not a coder, so I can't talk to it in great detail, but I can give you a very good picture, is that as long as the other tool has decent APIs, we can push and pull data from just about anything. And I'll give you a really good example. Yeah. I think I've shared with you guys before, but I'll share it with the audience, is that we built an integration with Jira. So you can mount an entire Jira project inside Just Do. All the tasks show up as Just Do tasks. The task pane, you press a Jira button, and suddenly that becomes your Jira window. But what was really amazing was if you created a task in Jira, so you're in Jira and you click create task, it showed up in Just Do before it showed up in Jira. Because obviously Jira is pretty old tech, and we're fully real time. We're like a Google Doc, but with way more data and functionality. So we built that, I think, in like 2 or 3 days. It was a demo for a client, a big enterprise company, that said we might need this. And we've done other various integrations. We currently have a Google Drive integration that's underway, which we hopefully will be ready maybe in a few months or sooner, I don't know. And I know that 365 will also be integrated into Just Do. But certainly if companies, and that goes back to when you said, what is Just Do for? If companies are heavily invested in other tools and they can't abandon them, either because culturally or because they may have specific features we don't have, even though we might be able to build them. But nonetheless, yes, as long as those systems have got decent APIs, we would be able to plug them into Just Do and yeah, no issues whatsoever.
Yeah, brilliant. Because I think, you know, but as much as we'd like to think it's a utopian environment, it's actually more dystopian. Like most people don't have one size fits all, even though we know that works better if everything talks and works together well. But it's good that people listening can say, all right, well, maybe there's an element of this we try, and then they start, you know, some of these things are organic, aren't they? Yeah. Then they start to, and like you said, feedback, they'll, oh, can it do this and this? And if you're a responsive software provider, then, you know, you'll start to build them in your next features and releases. So yeah, thanks. That was really interesting. Dale?
So I just have one more really important question to ask you, Stephen. What excites you most about the new Xbox?
One is coming out. That's always exciting. And two, it's going to be, you know, I don't know if you want a serious answer to this, but I'm enthusiastic about everything I get that commands on. I'm always excited to see what the new generation of developers do and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? And then actually, maybe this is more project management related. Here's a project management related answer to your question, especially as I'm not going to ask your individual ages, but none of us are 22 or 18 or 17 anymore. And I'm sure we all work ridiculous hours and all the rest of it. And we've got kids, this, that, and the other. I'm most excited about the fact that the new Xbox and I assume the PS5, you can have like 5 or 6 games on at the same time and pause them, and then you can switch between them. So it means my son could be playing Fortnite, and then when he goes to bed, I can continue with the thing I was playing like the night before. And that's what I call good task management, right? And to be able to do that from the UI really quickly. So I don't care if the thing doesn't have better graphics or what. I just want to be able to switch between games and not have to sit there for them to load and get back in. So that for me is the most exciting thing. And I guess that ties in nicely to, you know, again, the philosophy of Just Do. But I think that will resonate with a lot of older gamers.
Well, certainly will. Absolutely. No, brilliant. Thank you very much for that, Stephen. So heading towards the end of the pod now, just in summary, two things that stuck out for me. Integration. How you can integrate with almost anything, you know, if you want it, get hold of Stephen and the team and they can certainly look at doing it for you, and the agility, that you've got with Just Do. But the other thing that really stuck out for me was, Stephen, you were a user before you joined Just Do, and that says a lot about the product and the company as well. So that's, you know, that's enough for us, I think. Just you know, your pure enthusiasm with that, as Val says. In summing up, though, are there any final words you want to leave us with?
peace, love. Well, first, I want to thank you guys very much for having me. I think actually very kind of you. I also want to say, Just Do user base is growing, and it's wonderful to see at the same time that on your journey that you guys are growing. And it's lovely to be associated with that because I can see the care and love you put into this podcast. And, you know, all of us in our, it's only work, it's only business. None of it matters in the big scale of things. But if we can get enjoyment from what we do and we do it with passion, it's always nice to be associated with that. And you guys clearly take a lot of care of what you do. So thank you for letting us being part of your journey.
No, thank you. Thanks, no, Stephen.
Thank you. Yeah, well,
any final words from you?
No, that's it for me. I'm just waiting for Just 2 and Xbox to integrate at some point and we gamify project tasks. But other than that, I'll leave that with Stephen. He's probably put that on your list, mate. But it was a pleasure to have you. And we'll keep in touch, of course.
Of course. All right, then. Thank you, gentlemen. Keep well.
Brilliant. Thanks, Val. Thanks, Stephen. So, folks, that's all we have time for on this episode. But the fun doesn't have to stop now. Subscribe via our website and you'll get a link to our online community where you can chat directly to Val, myself, our expert guests and other community members. For more information, blogs and previous podcasts, check out projectchatterpodcast.com. A massive, massive thank you to Stephen Gurewitz. Thanks as always to Val and thank you all for listening. Till next time, we say stay safe, be disruptive and have fun doing it. Bye for now. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this podcast belong solely to the participating individuals and not necessarily to the individual not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, or individual.